This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 1st, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 158. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this special edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary, and the big deal feature. Tuesday is a bigly day. It's huge. I preview the U.S. presidential election with Camille Mitchell of Democrats Abroad Vancouver, Alexandra Raggi of Trace and the Bribe, Swindle, or Steal podcast, and Brian Calder of the Point Roberts Washington Chamber of Commerce. I'll also award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a person who's made a difference. Now, is it just me?
I'm Joe Biden.
I'm Donald J. Trump.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
And God bless the United States.
Is it just me, or is America's worst reality TV series about to be canceled? I'm here to tell you that it will be by dawn on November 3rd because it'll be Biden moving into the White House. In an out-of-control year, American voters will try to take control. Voters vote out instead of vote in their leaders. It will be a landslide for Biden and Harris. Lightning will not strike twice for Trump and Pence. This will become the trending phrase on Twitter, Trump's favorite communications channel.
And now you can say you're fired.
So that's my fearless prediction. When have I been wrong before? Well, the 2011 Stanley Cup, the 2017 British Columbia election, Super Bowl 49. Never mind. But Americans, one way or another, will wake up the next day with little else changed. The coronavirus pandemic, economic chaos, racial division, the environment, those problems will remain unsolved for some time. Not to mention the national security threats from Russia's Putin and China's Xi. So good luck, Joe Biden. You're going to need it. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In Apple Daily, Trump's hawkish China stance earned some new support from U.S.-based Hong Kongers. New support came despite Hong Kongers' awareness of Trump's role in fueling racial discrimination in the U.S. and his sloppy approach to the COVID-19 pandemic. Many Hong Kongers were drawn to Trump and his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, because of their hardline approach to China, explained Anna Young Chung, founder of NY4HK, a New York-based group that backed pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. In the Korea Times, U.S.-China row extended to top envoys in Seoul. Top envoys for the U.S. and China spoke at the 70th anniversary of the Korea Times newspaper. On relations with Korea and changes in the global environment, U.S. Ambassador Harry Harris mentioned the two countries' security alliance, while Chinese Ambassador Sheng Haiming commented on the economic cooperation between Seoul and Beijing. Said Harris, without a free media, a society can never reach its fullest potential. Sheng said the spread of trade protectionism, along with the COVID-19 crisis, was, quote, sending a serious shockwave, end quote, to the world economy. In ABC News Australia, is Donald Trump going to win the U.S. election? Here's how our key indicators have moved and what they're saying in the final stretch. Just in this last month alone, a rocky presidential debate frustrated millions of Americans. Trump tested positive for COVID-19, and a new justice tipped the balance of the U.S. Supreme Court towards a conservative majority. On the surface, the polls, the economy, and the state of America's coronavirus outbreak all point to a defeat for Donald Trump. If there's one thing we've learned watching politics in 2020, it's to expect the unexpected. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, why did an Oregon health official dress up like a clown and read off the coronavirus death toll? Dr. Clara Pochet, a public health physician with the Oregon Health Authority, kicked off the Halloween safety video by removing her surgical mask to reveal a full face of clown makeup, somewhat reminiscent of the Joker, one of Batman's creepiest rivals. The Oregon Health Authority later said it regretted that three new COVID-19 deaths were announced during the Halloween-themed Facebook Live event. In the Seattle Times, Spokane Spokesman Review will drop endorsements, unsigned editorials. The editorial published over the weekend in the newspaper endorsed President Donald Trump for re-election. The endorsement was attributed to the newspaper's editorial board, which is one person, publisher Stacey Cowles. The endorsement describes Trump as a, quote, wretched human being, end quote, but said voters should still choose him over Joe Biden, whom it described as a, quote, doddering, doting uncle who would hand out gifts the nation can't afford in order to win people's love, end quote. On Czech News, message posted in North Saanich threatening to catch roaming cats, not return them. A disturbing message has been posted along Ardmore Drive in North Saanich, threatening to set traps for people's roaming cats in the area. Quote, if you are the owners of these beasts, please be warned that we do not want them pooping in our yard or stalking the birds, end quote, reads a statement in the posted message. Quote, they should be in touch with us, then we can help work with them and the cat owners to help solve the problem, not going about it like a vigilante doing it yourself, end quote, said Don Brown with Capital Regional District Animal Control, which is responsible for the North Saanich area. And these headlines this week in the Breaker.News. Wilkinson stands behind BC Liberal platform and campaign despite crushing October 24th loss. White-collar crime takes center stage in BC. And 15 Vancouver voters take aim at city councillor for putting his 8.5 restaurant first. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. That's the Star Spangled Banner by Shitty Flute from YouTube. The 59th United States presidential election is November 3rd. I spoke with Camille Mitchell, an actress originally from California. She lives in Vancouver and is on the board of Democrats Abroad Vancouver, the local chapter of the Democratic Party. She's obviously hoping for Joe Biden to become the 46th president of the USA. First, I asked Camille about the amount of American voters in southwestern British Columbia, the biggest concentration of Americans outside the U.S.
Yes, in fact, I think those numbers have grown. I don't have the exact numbers, but now with the film industry, we have a lot of Americans who are spending a lot of time up here. And if you work, study, you don't have to, you don't even have to be an immigrant here. You can just vote from here. You can get your ballot from here. It all works out. But we did, we were very disappointed in 2016. We only had, with Democrats Abroad Canada, 5% turnout, but I have to say, I'm really pleased to say that we have a 90% increase in membership in Democrats Abroad since 2016. And of the Democrats Abroad members here in Canada, that we've reached out to, 78% are engaged in voting. They've either requested a ballot or they have actually voted. You can also check and make sure your ballot has been received in your state by going to ballottrax.net, ballottrax.net. And also through votefromabroad.org, they can point you in the direction of how to make sure your ballot has actually been received.
You alluded to the concentration of Americans in Nelson. You also alluded to the concentration of Americans in the Vancouver area, especially working in the film industry. Is there a certain demographic sketch of who the Democrats Abroad are in British Columbia?
It's a really diverse group. And what's interesting is I'm always amazed at how many are from red states. I don't know why, but it always surprises me. But I would say the demographic we cover, Democrats Abroad Vancouver covers pretty well all. Well, it covers all the Lower Mainland and the and British Columbia, with the exception of Vancouver Island. Victoria has its own chapter, which is extremely dynamic as well. And I would say, we do have a lot of members who came up during the Vietnam War, who came up as conscientious objectors to the war. But we also have a lot of young people now who are UBC, at SFU. It's very exciting how their numbers have increased dramatically since 2016. I think any apathy that we experienced in 2016 has gone. I feel a real, there's such an energy from the members we have. They're all different ages now. I would say maybe a few years ago, they might have tended towards older members, but now it's definitely, we have a huge contingency out at the universities, and they're doing amazing work. So it's really hard to say, because we have just a mixed bag, from students to retired people to, you know, very active people in tourism and business. And it's great fun to join, because you do, even with COVID, we're having a lot of Zoom participating events. And it's exhilarating to meet other people with the same commitment that you have to, especially to this election. And, you know, moving forwards too, Bob, you know, we will have the 2022 elections for the Senate and the House, which will be so important. So we're going to keep pushing and trying to, you know, engage our membership and find new members, because it is so important as we move forward. To keep up this blue wave. Yeah. So, you know, it's not over with this election. We've still got another big fight for the Senate and the House in 2022, which will be also take a lot of energy to register voters and get people engaged.
And finally, how will you and your family and friends, and how will Democrats abroad get together on election night on November 3rd?
Well, we have a national Zoom call that Democrats Abroad members are invited to. And anyone who would like to join us, we welcome you. There's no fee to join Democrats Abroad. As I said, it's totally a voluntary operation. We welcome you. We welcome friends, Canadian friends, to come on the calls. If you go to Democrats Abroad Canada, you'll get a lot of information, Democrats Abroad Vancouver. We also have a meetup page, Democrats Abroad Vancouver Meetup. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And please just go to Democrats Abroad Vancouver for local events and so on. I personally am going to be with family and a few friends. I'm hoping it's not going to rain, because I think we're actually going to put the TV outside. And bundle up and get the fire pit going, and you know, I'm going to bake some election cake. Oh, there's a fun bit of trivia for you, Bob. Apparently, in the early days of voting in the United States, it was such a Puritan country that they didn't celebrate Christmas or anything ornate, but Election Day was a huge holiday. And also for the gloomier folks right now who are still devastated by the trauma of the 2016 election, I just want to share with you too that Abe Lincoln, his chances of reelection in September of 1864 were so slim. He was losing the Civil War. It was not looking good for him. The Republican Party, who he was a member of at the time, was actually contemplating having someone else run. And it was only after the Battle of Atlanta on September 2nd that his re-election bid became actually a possibility again, and he won the re-election as president.
That was my interview with Camille Mitchell of Democrats Abroad Vancouver. I did invite Mark Feigenbaum of Republicans Overseas Canada, but did not receive a reply. That's the Star Spangled Banner by Flurio from YouTube. Joining me from Annapolis, Maryland, to talk about the presidential election is Alexandra Raggi of Trace, which provides anti-bribery compliance support to multinational companies. Alexandra Raggi is originally from North Delta, BC. She is an internationally recognized anti-corruption expert, and she also hosts the Bribe, Swindle, or Steal podcast. The countdown to Tuesday, presidential election day, what is the mood on the ground?
So I think it's most easily summarized as anxious. I returned from Vancouver to Annapolis about 4 weeks ago, and the region is almost pulsing with anxiety, I think probably on both sides. But what's sort of fascinating to me is even as the polls reflect a likely Biden win, people are terrified that the polls are wrong again, as they were in 2016, and equally terrified that there won't be a free and fair election, that the results will be manipulated. And if that's not enough, people are concerned about violence in the aftermath of the decision, either way.
In 2016, Donald Trump ran on a platform, his famous slogan, Drain the Swamp.
And we are going to end the government of corruption, which it has definitely been. And we're going to drain the swamp in Washington, D.C.
The swamp seems to have gotten deeper and murkier since then. He's kept the FBI busy. He's used the presidency to build his brand. He's used the White House for campaign purposes. All three warning signs. Where do you fall on this? What has he done when it comes to anti-corruption?
There isn't any way in which the swamp has been drained. There isn't anything at all that I can point to, and I would like to be able to, just in the interest of balance. The anti-corruption world has sort of ticked over the law here, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. There have been some cases coming out with respect to that, but most of those predate this administration. They entered the pipeline before. And then, as you point out, the things that are sort of more interesting to the general public, the abuse of the office for campaign purposes, that's the Hatch Act. The president's daughter is routinely accused of violating that, and it's just reached the point where nothing happens. We send out the information and we log it, but absolutely nothing changes. There's also the use or abuse of the president's businesses to secure money from foreign officials, a violation of the Emoluments Clause. And that's particularly worrying. In Dan Alexander's book, he talks about the Qatari Sovereign Wealth Fund renting space from Trump, or a building that's 30% owned by Trump, in the aftermath of a decision that benefited Qatar, and then not moving anybody into the office space. So there's this very expensive space in California that is being paid for by a government entity, a foreign government entity, after a favorable decision, and then not used. So it's difficult not to conclude that wasn't just a move to put money directly into President Trump's pockets. And we've seen similar behavior with the stream of government officials booking suites in his hotel, in some cases using them, but in many cases not using them. So we were concerned about how a businessman president would balance the interests of his business against the interests of the presidency. And, it's definitely come down on the side of his personal business interests.
Now, there are questions on the other side about Joe Biden's international business dealings, his son and his brother especially, and whether they profited on him being vice president, and possibly could profit on him being president. Glenn Greenwald quit The Intercept this week over a story that was spiked about that and about the media coverage of it. It seems to be quite a murky story with a lot of loose ends, but it still does raise an important and interesting question about how people close to a public official can profit in dealing with foreign governments.
Yeah, absolutely. I am an enormous fan of transparency. That's what my career has been built on. And if there is an important story there, the public should hear it. I read his letter of resignation. I read The Intercept's response to that. It sounded, based on my reading of those, as if the story wasn't fully baked and that it was spiked for that reason. I'm not an expert on it, so I won't go beyond that, except to say that, yes, there is an enormous risk with any politician that they will profit from their office, and we need to tighten the rules around that to ensure that doesn't happen. We don't just need to tighten them, we need to enforce them, embody them in a law, as opposed to the norms that the Trump administration is just trampled all over. The one of the most common phrases in the early days of the Trump administration was, President Carter put his peanut farm into a blind trust. Those were the days when the norms were observed. And we learned very quickly under a Trump administration that they were just norms and they could be ignored and there would be no repercussions for that. It is my hope that if we have a Biden administration in January, that he and the Democrats will make good on insisting in the future on transparency around tax returns and on a much greater funding and enforcement of the ethics office to ensure that the public knows what's happening and can make decisions based on that, but also that the business dealings are reined in.
That was Alexandra Araghi, president of Trace and host of the Bribe, Swindle, or Steal podcast. She joined me from Annapolis, Maryland. That's the Star Spangled Banner by Dr. Mix from YouTube. Point Roberts in Washington State's Whatcom County. Year-round home to 1,300 people. It is less than 13 square kilometers, surrounded by water on three sides, and connected to Sawasin, B.C., south of the 49th parallel, which was drawn 175 years ago next June. But the U.S.-Canada border was closed to non-essential travel in March 2020 because of the pandemic. The people of Point Roberts are isolated, and one of them is Brian Calder, the president of the Point Roberts Chamber of Commerce. He is a former president of the Real Estate Board of Greater Vancouver and a former city councillor in Vancouver. I asked Brian how he would describe Point Roberts in the fall of 2020.
Basically devastating. It's almost inhumane in the sense of people not being able to travel to the other side to meet relatives and grandkids and so forth in Blaine, Bellingham, Linden, and so forth. Lockdown here. The only way you can get out is to go self-quarantine for 14 days if you do go back to Canada, which half the people here are dual citizens, so they can go into Canada, but they have to lock down for the 14 days. It's been devastating for our kids because a lot of them went to school in Delta, Ladner, and Richmond, and so they've had to leave to continue their education, and some are farmed out with relatives in and Abbotsford and Cloverdale and Richmond and so on. And we've lost probably 23 to 25 kids are gone from here because of the lockdown, the border.
How has it harmed the economy? You're of course, with the Chamber of Commerce.
Absolutely devastating. Our Canadian contingent supplies 85%. 85% of our economy is driven by Canadians. 75% of the properties here are owned by Canadians. Our water comes from Canada. Our electric power comes from Canada, BC to be specific, Greater Vancouver, BC Hydro, the Greater Vancouver Water District. The influence of Canadians, it drives this whole market, and the businesses here have to make their income to sustain themselves through the winter between mid-May and mid-September, which is when the Canadians, and we swell to 5,000 people, they leave a lot of money here. You mentioned the marina. The marina is 850 stalls, and it's down to about 250. And all those other 600 boats are Canadian boats that have been removed during the summer because they couldn't get at them, so they had to broker them through back into Canada. And the Canadians spent their summer in Vancouver Island, upcountry, whatever, and not in Point Roberts. I'm afraid they're not coming back.
You mentioned the marina there. There has been one positive in recent months to try to help the people of Point Roberts, the ferry to Blaine and Bellingham. How often does that sail, and has it helped?
I considered it a joke. It's not a long-term solution. As you know, you've been here. We're three sides by water. We're open about 18 miles across to the San Juans, and we get weather. And so far, it's been canceled four times because of weather, fog, and rough water. And we've got a bus. Why didn't they put a bus on and it's not weather dependent. You'd get there in a quarter of the time, and it's convenient because it can run around and drop you and pick you up at various places. They take you from here, drop you in Bellingham Harbor, and you're on your own. Meet us back here at 4, and we'll boat you back. It was a good sort of fun trip for the summer, but it's not deep thinking at all and not long term at all. I mean, and now it's not going to be running because of inclement weather. What do you do now? You still don't have an answer. So it was a very temporary pie in the sky as far as I'm concerned. We need some deeper thinkers to solve this problem.
Governor Jay Inslee wrote to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to seek solutions. That really hasn't borne much fruit, but we were here in British Columbia, but you are now in election season, Whatcom County elections, other elections happening, of course, the presidential election. But are you getting any notice from any of the politicians down there, and are they making any promises? Are they doing anything more than what the governor did a few months ago?
No, I think they're basically saying, oh, that's too bad, and patting us on the head. We've seen no meaningful action whatsoever. I mean, the governor's letter was a nice start, but it ended there. I mean, I would have asked for a meeting, were I governor, with Trudeau or his representative, to sit down and treat the uniqueness of Point Roberts in a unique way. Because if you agree, and I'm prepared to argue, that we're the most unique area in all of North America, and I'm prepared to debate that one, and you can try and show me where we're not, as totally unique. We're, as I mentioned earlier, 85% of our income from Canada, 75% of our properties owned, all our electric and water comes from Canada. There's no other place in North America. 50% of our people are dual citizens. No place else in US or Canada does that prevail. So if we can agree on that, then we must, by extension, say it requires a unique situation. It's a solution. It's not one size fits all. That cannot work here.
That was Brian Calder, president of the Point Roberts Chamber of Commerce in Point Roberts, Washington.
We're all in this together. And we've got to brave this stormy weather. You can count on us. We're your neighbor.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group that is making a difference. A version... 3, 2, 1. Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group that is making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to... outgoing British Columbia Finance Minister Carol James. She led the NDP in two elections and stayed on as MLA for Victoria Beacon Hill, eventually becoming Finance Minister in the Horgan government. She announced early last March her retirement due to Parkinson's disease. Carol James is a minister respected on both sides of the House. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
When your face is gone, you won't stand alone. We'll all stand together, cause this is our home. And it don't matter what color you are, cause love will conquer hate. So you won't stand alone, you won't stand alone.
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of November 1st, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on November 1st in 1870, the Weather Bureau, now the National Weather Service, made its first forecast at Old State House in Boston? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.